5 a.m. on February 1st, 2023. This is the Communication and Technology Committee calling that meeting to order. I'm Director Steve Booth. Also present is Director Linda Butler, General Manager Mimi Morris, and District Secretary Amelia Wilder. Linda, do you have any changes to the agenda you'd like to make, or shall we proceed with the agenda? Okay, then our next item is a discussion item update on the website and social media, please, Amelia.
We'll start with the website. The interesting thing about this month is that normally this very first draft, normally we have one big spike and then it's calm for the whole rest of the month. But this month, everybody was looking at it on different days. The other thing that I always find interesting about this is on page 2, 1,400 of the visits just went to the front page, and I found the information they were looking for there. The Deer Creek Scott Road crossing was number 2. People are still paying their utility bills. Beverly will be happy to know. And then employment opportunities, board of directors meetings, district staff and phone number, and then the committee meetings were the most popular hits. 312 of our users came from Rancho Marietta, San Jose, Sacramento, Los Angeles, and Boardman. So everybody's in California. I don't know what Boardman is.
Well, what is?
Boardman.
The town of Boardman.
Maybe or Amelia, just one of your left side mentioned something from that line.
I thought that maybe it was like marketing.
Move on to our Facebook page. The only thing different this month was that our audience is leaning more toward men than it did last month. It's still primarily women.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on the update on the website, social media? If not, we'll move on to the next item. Item 3 on the agenda is to continue work on draft communication strategy. In advance of the meeting, GM Morris updated the draft from our previous discussions, and it looks like we have pretty well completed discussion through item 5 on our strategy document. I had one comment on item 4.1, Mimi. Community meetings, it said, host regular town hall meetings. I don't know that we anticipate regular town hall meetings, but I think we've used those on an ad hoc basis, unless we think that there is some value in holding a quarterly or, I mean, we hold monthly meetings here, so I wonder about regular.
I think that's a good edit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Linda, anything you have to comment on items 1 through 5?
No, you could just say host town hall meetings.
Right.
Great.
Right.
No.
Okay. Then, Amy, I'll toss it back to you. We're on item 6, I think, then, on our strategy document.
Okay, great. So this item is engagement initiatives. So this is, you know, a form of our communication strategy to develop initiatives to encourage community participation, consider contest challenges or community events. And so I think this is a nice to-do thing, but I don't know that we need as much community engagement maybe as other, you know, entities. We have a service we're providing, but if we, you know, need to change behavior as we're trying to do with moving everyone over onto electronic bill paying and notification. We do have a raffle going on for people who actually have their emails into us. So, but I welcome board thoughts about whether or not we need to have engagement initiatives and in what form.
Linda?
I always think, you know, how do we get people to read this stuff, whether it's online or wherever it is? And so I was trying to think of something that we could do to encourage people to look at the information we're putting out there. I went to bring it. Through SMUD, I contribute on every bill a little bit so that it goes to somebody who can't, you know, afford to pay their bills. I got a card from SMUD thanking me for that, it was lovely. I have always liked SMUD, but every time somebody does something like that, you know, it makes me think, oh, they're really appreciative of this. Yeah. So if there was some way we could build in, you know, some kind of thank you or...
We could do a customer appreciation night here, maybe, once a year or something.
Or even just something
like
simple.
An ice cream social or something.
Yeah, that'd be great. I was just thinking of something simple, you know, that we could stick in the bill or something, or put at the bottom of the bill that says, you know, CSD wants to thank you for, you know, your participation in staying connected or, you know, whatever.
And I know that since Mimi has initiated the program of responding directly to community folks, we had that issue with the drainage ditch at Chesbro, and I heard from other people how appreciative that first reporting party was to the note that you sent to her, Mimi, thanking her for, you know, letting us know there was an issue out there. So I agree with Linda, just that little bit of recognition and appreciation. I just think it's just something we can probably just initiate. I'm looking at this idea of encouraging community participation.
God, what can I do?
And again, where I think participation has been sought the most has been at those ad hoc meetings that we've scheduled on specific topics. And what I'm looking for is an alternate wording that encourages community, and it sounds redundant when I say community communication, but we've had discussions in this committee before about kind of the paucity, if you will, of communication that we receive from community members. We've had some folks, I think, offer some criticism of the format and the methodology, and I think we modified that a bit early last year, hoping to make it a little more user-friendly. But I think that I like the idea of just making sure that we are open to receiving communication of all types from our community members. And if that's what we mean by participation, then I'm fine with that wording. I don't know if there's better wording that we might look at there, but
I was just looking at 6.2.
I mean, input seems a little too I don't know, trite. 6.2.
And that's kind of what I was thinking about. You know, some sort of contest or challenge or something in the on the website or in the bill that, I mean, even if it was like a crossword puzzle or, you know, that had CSD stuff on it or something that was a little more fun.
A word search might be really easy.
Yeah, right. Sure.
To generate. We have a whole lexicon of, you know, water terms.
Right, right.
So you're thinking of something just to encourage them to actually open that document, whether it's hard copy or sent digitally,
right.
Which we are hoping for to be able to do in the future. I like that.
A CSD cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh, it could be really funny. It could be February, you know, 2050. We're getting the first audit.
Yeah, well,
hashtag too soon.
Yeah, really. I also think that, I mean, we've had what I think, with the exception of one of our three town hall meetings we've had since I've been on the board, we had really good participation at a couple of them. I would love to see more. And I don't know, maybe we can seek advice from council whether we are able to provide some sort of, you know, nominal raffle prize or something for people that do attend. I don't know about us being able to spend district money on that, nor its advisability, but I think it's something we might want to explore with council, because it is, if we can encourage, I mean, I'd love to have standing room only in that big room up at the country club for our next town hall. I think it's probably going to happen. When the country club did their town hall here a few weeks ago, it was packed. It was actually large participation. They had people sitting in the room next to the big room. And I'd love to see that at our next meeting as well. So I like these ideas. Again, I know we have input listed down at 7.1. So I'm just wondering if 6.1 and 7.1 are somewhat redundant, or Mimi, if you had something else in mind as you were drafting this draft.
I think that the engagement initiative is sort of standalone, just an effort to ensure that everyone feels connected and that you have different methods of reaching out. And then the feedback mechanism is to allow the community members to actually respond to different things that have happened, mm-hmm. and to be able to, you know, tell us about those,
right.
in an easy manner. And so I think of them as different. But how about if I go back and rework engagement initiatives a little bit and come back with a proposal on that?
Okay,
one.
Yeah. And again, I don't like to ask for a change without having something to propose.
Yeah.
But I haven't quite processed it completely. I mean, I can anticipate there's going to be opportunities for us to seek participation from the community on decisions. You know, and so I participation is the right thought, but anyway, yeah, if you take a look at that and see what we can do with that.
Okay.
Linda, anything else on 6?
No.
How about 7?
No.
8?
Oh, the only thing I wanted to say is we've already implemented 7.2, respond promptly to feedback and address concerns.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as I said earlier, I think that's a really a great improvement, mm-hmm. in terms of, and I think that it's going to, I think it's a very modest investment, mm-hmm. that's going to pay us great dividends long term.
Yeah.
I'm already hearing positive feedback from those who have received responses from you, Mimi, as I said, not just that one, but mm-hmm. some others as well.
Okay.
I think that's really good. Number 8, crisis communication plan. Mimi?
So this is, I think, a really important one. I don't think we have much at all in this currently. We have the contract with Code Red, which is a mechanism for communicating out, which we're actually sort of kicking the tires on from a staff perspective, because that cost is proposed to increase in the next, well, this year and the year after. And I think that to the extent that we're able to gather everybody's information, we should be able to communicate directly with our people without having to sub it out, and it's over $6,000 a year for that. But I think this is a very key thing to develop a plan for addressing crises. Right now, we're kind of relying on the Code Red for communication about the situation, and then to outline key messages and communication channels during emergencies. So this would be some work on developing a separate plan on this in conjunction with probably OES and county officials to make sure that we're ready in case there's anything that happens.
I should know this, but I don't. Does the district have an emergency response plan?
We do, yes.
But I've not seen it. And do you know, Amelia, when it was last updated?
I updated it since I've been here, but Paul was still here. So 2021.
Yeah, 20 or 21.
So like late 2020, early 2021.
Mm-hmm. So,
and it talks more about if there was an emergency, where would we gather? This would be like a hub and a headquarters, and so who would be in charge of responding to the emergency and dispersing personnel, et cetera, until like the sheriff or somebody made it here.
Right, that makes sense. And so what I'm thinking, I assume there was probably some sort of ERP. I think maybe there's an opportunity here then, Mimi, not to add to the workload, but to take a look at that ERP. And two things that I'm thinking about. One is to make sure that we have some sort of definition. You know, and it always has to be kind of open-ended, you know, so examples of, but you know, what constitutes an emergency? You know, it ought to be part of that ERP, and it probably already is. And then I think if we don't already have, we probably don't, add a segment that talks about communication with the public during times of emergencies, because it may be a matter of assisting the sheriff with identifying we have an evacuation in place, or, you know, we're experiencing flooding, here's your sandbags. You know, we can do that. You know, we do that now, but it's not as timely because it's coming out less frequent. Once we get to that email opportunity, I think. But so I think it would be good to incorporate and probably where that belongs as part of the ERP.
Great. And I think that that's a great suggestion to make sure that we align this with that.
Isn't there another emergency phone system beyond Code Red? Aren't there two?
There's a reverse 911.
Yeah. Okay.
And reverse 911 is Sacramento County, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it's, I believe that's true.
But both Code Red and reverse 911. You know, you have to take initiative and go on your phone or call them and let them know that you want to be part of those systems.
Yeah, well, and I know I periodically get Amber Alerts and other alerts. You know, the last one I recall was a disoriented senior that had wandered. You know, was you know, demented.
And that was a Code Red alert.
I think it probably was, and he had wandered out of his home and. Fortunately, he was found pretty quickly thereafter and was in fine shape. But, yeah, so, I mean, I get those. I guess I enrolled at some point. Wow. Don't remember doing so.
You're enrolled in Code Red.
Yeah.
And I think we've only done it two or three times since I've been here, used Code Red.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be an emergency.
Right. Okay.
So my thought is that we do a little campaign to get people to sign up for this. You know, because we haven't done a refresher or anything.
Okay. I'll add it to the pipeline.
Yeah.
It's on the website. I'll add it to the pipeline.
Okay. That'd be great.
You know, just on that, I received an email recently from a staff member here relating to text messages through my phone and email. I thought I'd already taken care of that. Before I leave today, we'll double check and make sure. But maybe that's an area also where if council says we can give a $5 Starbucks gift card, you know, or something, you know, we could each month draw a couple of those for people that sign up by giving us their email or phone for individual messaging.
Yeah, I think what you probably received was the email that was sent to two batches of our, like five or six batches of our 2,000 emails that we have.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was clearly addressed to me as a customer.
Yeah.
And that's why I decided, and which I assume was probably just batched, but before I leave today, we'll double check.
Yeah.
See, I thought I'd already shared that with staff here, but we'll double check.
Yeah, that was a validation email to have
you say. And I'd rather have redundancy than fall
and
short.
Silence. Yeah. Okay, so I'll take a crack at reworking eight to come up with integration with the ERP.
Okay. I just think maybe just you look at that and all four of those items on item eight and figure out how to incorporate that into the ERP. Linda, anything else on eight?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Then I'll find my... Item 9, partnerships and collaboration. Amy?
So this is a proposal to explore partnerships with local organizations and businesses to expand our reach, to collaborate on events or initiatives that align with our objectives. And as an example of this, we've had a presence at like the Kiwanis Family Day to talk about the things that the district does to share water meter tools and just to, you know, sort of establish connections between us and the community. And I think it has value.
And I've forgotten who sponsors this or if it's just law enforcement, but it seems like annually up at Stonehouse there's been a gathering, and I recall CHP and the sheriff and some others being up there to provide information. The kids get to look at the patrol cars, and I
think that law enforcement coordinates that and puts that together.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that's an opportunity for us to set up an information table. We do provide security, you know, for the area, and maybe there's an opportunity here to have some generic information about the various services that we provide, not just security. And it's also an opportunity, especially for newcomers to the community, to be able to distinguish between the services that we provide and those provided by RMA or the other homeowners associations. So something to think about. And again, it seems like it's usually in the spring, if I recall correctly. Gail, you cover those, don't you, usually? Yes.
It's in the summer.
Is it summer? Okay.
And it's not on a regular basis. Definitely the occupancy is on the RMA board. Not that happening here. It happens elsewhere in the fund, but it doesn't happen here.
Okay.
Somebody spearheads it. She did one year, and it was really great, but it kind of went by the wayside.
Well, we had it again last year, I think.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Yeah, I don't recall. Maybe we can reach out to Lieutenant Coett or somebody else in law enforcement and see if we can... You know, if they're going to do it again, and again, I just think it's an opportunity again. And it's just, if nothing else, it's just FaceTime with the community. You know,
we've had it since Stephanie left the board.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I recall I didn't go the last couple of times, but I don't remember if there was one last summer. I know I didn't attend one last summer.
Well, there was another event at the sheriff's office.
Oh,
that's right.
Okay.
That's right. Right. Okay. Okay. So I have nothing.
I was going to just say maybe one of the things that's happening in the fall, November, is the election. So there might be an opportunity to. But I think we do kind of a candidates night anyways, like RMA does. But I guess
a candidates night it starts in like May, June. I start to put it on the website, put it on Facebook, put it in the pipeline that we do have open board seats coming up. Mm-hmm. And then I haven't had to do a candidates night since I've been here because everybody's just, you know,
said. Has run unopposed.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's good. As one whose term that I'm filling out the last 2 years of Mr. Merchant's term, I will be one facing that need this fall. If we have. And when are the candidates' applications normally due?
August?
Mid-July-ish.
Okay.
And I keep everybody really well informed on that because I run that in the pipeline like at least 2 or 3 months
ahead of time, and then we'll know in August whether or not we're going to have contest. So we'll have two open seats this year, if I recall
correctly. That's
correct,
yours and Mr. Pohl.
Okay, and so clearly, I think there's an opportunity. In my mind, there's an opportunity where we really want to encourage participation if we have an election.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think I'm one that. I wish, and it's just a personal note, I was among the first 18-year-olds in this country that got to vote in 1972. And, you know, there was a lot of people pushing hard. I was an activist on campus you know, pushing to, you know, and sending letters asking to give 18-year-olds the right to vote in 1972 when I had peers my age giving their lives up in Southeast Asia. That became real important to me. And I've not missed an election since. So, yeah, something that's near and dear to me is to participate, encourage participation. So there's at least a topic that we, and again, it ties into our earlier comments about timely communication. Sounds like you already have a strategy for that, Amelia, so that's great.
I do. And then in the March board meeting, the board passes a resolution to have an election and participate in the election, whether or not we do. And since this is my first, hopefully we'll have candidates night. I'll rely on the incumbents who came to the last candidates night to help me know the flow of that event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll see what we get. I mean, there's two seats, and
right?
You know, any number of participants that can apply. So,
how about a CSD day? We could maybe do it down under the gazebo at the entrance to the north. And we could just have a lot of information about what CSD does, you know, how we're elected. I don't know, a bunch of stuff that we could throw in there.
You know, we would be limited to no more than two board members present if we did that.
Mm-hmm. Can you?
I like it.
Two?
I mean,
Can you have two board members present?
As long as it's not a quorum.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Three constitutes a quorum of the board, so that's always an issue. And members could rotate in and out, too, as long as you don't have more than two at a time, I believe.
Oh.
I believe. So, yeah, let's have some discussion about that. I like that idea. Maybe late spring, early summer, mm-hmm. before it gets too warm.
Okay.
All right, anything else on 9 from anyone? Metrics and evaluation, I'm thinking there's two or three things we've already talked about. I think we actually set a goal on one of them with a numerical, which is obviously a KPI, it's a metric. And I think that what we need to do under item 10 is identify those performance issues that we want to establish metrics for. Clearly, online bill paying, clearly providing email and phone for direct communication. I'm wondering what other, you know, issues or topics we might want to evaluate with some metrics. You have some ideas on that, Mimi?
Yeah, I think that there's a whole area of communication with regard to service issues that we really haven't tapped yet. The mechanism by which any customer could communicate an issue and then our response to it. And so we have a need here for another information technology system that would be a place where through the same portal where bill paying could occur, customers could say, oh, there's something here, you know, or they could call it in and then we put it in and then we could track, okay, well, what happened with that? Somebody went out, they resolved it, they identified it as somebody else's issue, whatever it is, and tracking those stats. So
something that would kind of parallel our security log.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think we've already moved in that direction with regard to PRAs. Mm-hmm. And those direct communications. So I think those are, and again, it seems to me what we're measuring there is the timing of the response, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the completion of the records request.
And I think it also provides valuable information about the volume of the service requests.
Yes. Right?
To be able to see workload and to understand, you know, like peak times, and when the needs are greatest, and then what our response time is to determine, you know, the adequacy of the staffing. So there's a whole area there. And then in addition to those, you know, on-demand service requests, there's also a whole component of just preventive maintenance activities and our ability to track those. So that's another area that we're talking about in terms of being able to establish a system that says, okay, for for every lift from this manufacturer, it needs this, that, and the other done, you know, every year, and then making sure that we do those. So those KPIs are going to be important for our operational.
I was just going to say, a lot of what you just outlined, I think, is falls into the realm of operations. So again, in terms of trying to coordinate our efforts intra-district, which of those items are appropriate for us to communicate, whether it's just a communication back to an individual who's got a problem with a water leak or a sewer backup, or those things that may be broader in effect that we want to share information, right, with the community at large?
Yeah, and I think that, especially for people who are new to the community, you know, who may not know that all eyes are helpful in terms of identifying as quickly as possible if you see just rushing water, that if you call
somebody,
you know, then we can, you know, save hundreds of thousands of gallons of water or something.
Right.
And so,
and potential property damage.
Yeah. So to the extent that everybody, you know, is aware of the mechanism by which they can tell the district that something seems awry, we can be, you know, more on top of our systems.
Okay.
The success of our strategy. I think we have to define what the strategy is.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think what we're talking about here is really determining like what the KPIs are for us, and then those will have like specific components, you know, in terms of that. So that I think is going to require a little bit of thinking about like what we identify as our key, and I think this is a living document as we've talked about, and so you know, I think I have been pretty straightforward that my primary focus right now is money, like let's get the finances of the organization solidified, but then there are other data gaps or, you know, inefficiencies in managing data. And those will be sort of the next level of the ripple, and there's a lot of opportunity there to improve performance. So
no, I agree, and I just, it's interesting. Like we I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I did a couple of weeks ago post a rather lengthy post on Nextdoor, outlining three significant advancements that I believe we have made in the financial arena, taking credit somewhat for myself, but also sharing it, Mimi, with you and Mark, and the staff in general, you know, indicating again how close we are to completing that first audit, brief discussion about reallocating the administrative overhead, the indirect costs, and also the fact that we are now, as a board, seeing monthly year-to-date statements. Those three items that I've been harping on since December of 2022. Again, last time I looked, there were 3,500 hits on that post. There were dozens of positive feedback. There were dozens of actual comments coming back. And so I think as we talk about metrics and evaluation, as I've said, and I used to do this with my HR staff when I was at SAC-RT, celebrate our successes. Celebrate our victories. Let our community know, hey, here's what we're doing for you. And I just think that as we develop these metrics, and as we get closer on the financial stuff, the more we can share that with our community, the more credibility we restore and build. And I think in the long run, it makes all of our jobs much easier.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. We want to move from wall of shame to wall of fame.
Absolutely. Anything else on 10 from anyone? 11? That seems pretty straightforward to me. And I obviously, I'm sorry, on 10, obviously that's a skeletal outline. Going to need a lot of flesh and bones, flesh put onto those bones.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to do is come back either next month or the month after. We've got the budget coming up that's going to take a bit of my time. But I think with a listing of everything that we're doing and what the costs are, so that you can actually have an understanding of the way that your decisions impact the bottom line.
Okay. That's with regard to number 11, right?
Yeah.
Like I said, I have nothing to add on 11. Linda?
No.
All right. 12, training and development. Again, those seem pretty straightforward. Did we provide some training over the last year to staff about responding to the challenging inquiries?
Yes, we did. We had a de-escalation training because of some anxious customers that came in pretty heatedly about their bills. And so we had a comprehensive training for the front desk staff and some other staff to develop, you know, a repertoire of how to maintain things in an even keel. And then, in fact, the refresh that we're doing in the reception area is sort of designed with that in mind, to have a sitting space for whoever comes in so they can, because sometimes it takes more than a few minutes to walk through all the intricacies of a bill issue, so they can actually be seated and calmly address the issue with staff. So we're taking some steps there to try to have, you know, that communication go as smoothly as possible.
And, I mean, obviously, there's an opportunity for virtually every service line to, I mean, our you know, our utility people do encounter folks out. You know, I'm not aware of any conflicts or issues out there, unless and until somebody's told, no, that's not a CSD responsibility. You got to fix that water leak. And I still tried to be cordial when they told me that. You know, but yeah, so I communication is just the key, says the guy that has a college degree in that. So I have nothing to add there, but I like the idea of ongoing and updating training, especially for folks that are on the front line.
Yeah, and I think we want to give them, the frontline folks, more tools too, mm-hmm. to capture whatever communication they receive, so that it doesn't just stay with them.
Right.
And so having a mechanism, and this is an area of improvement, you know, having a mechanism by which they can capture that and put it into a central database, so we can see, okay, how did that go, and then recommend alternatives, or give that attaboy or attagirl if it went well.
Yeah, and a key component to that, I know you know this from all your years of management responsibility, but a key is also informing the frontline staff under what circumstances it's appropriate to pass that upward. And I remember, again, telling staff that have worked for me over the years, you are not paid enough to take abuse. I am. I have broad shoulders. I have thick skin. And I recall specifically one time a person just berated the person that answered the phone in the office. And that person was in tears when they asked to transfer the call to me. And I started the conversation with, you will never speak to our phone answering personnel like that again. Now, how can I help you? That simple. And it never happened again. But I just think, you know, and I know you've got good, strong department managers now that need to step in when necessary, hopefully few and far between.
Yeah, and I think our staff here in the room can attest to the fact that they have had some bad treatment.
Nah.
And then we've all been reduced to tears.
And I'm sorry for that. I am. And again, I hope you hear us then. You should not have to tolerate that, and we should. I'm sure you have a mechanism for passing that up.
It's a sidebar on that. It seems like our people are somewhat settled. We haven't had a major turnover in what, a month.
Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood. Anyways, I would really love to bring the accounting staff and the women from up front and anybody who's participating in being in CSD, and have them be introduced at a meeting, at a board meeting, and maybe have them talk a little bit about what they do and how they're finding, you know, things in Rancho Murrieta at the CSD. You know, just kind of get to know them, because for a long time people were coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. And I just think it would be nice to have them know who we are and for us to know a little bit more about what they are and what they're doing.
Yeah, sure. We can have them be first up on an agenda, maybe,
yeah,
so that
right,
they don't have
right.
to stay.
Yeah,
on.
We schedule it early so we avoid the overtime or staying late implications. But
yeah, just
yeah,
for them to have to stay late, you know.
I like it. I like it.
Okay. All righty.
Good suggestion. Thank you, Director. Anything else on 12?
Nope.
13, I mean, again, seems self-evident. Have you encountered in the time that you've been here, Mimi, any inconsistency with regard to branding or any of the stuff that's identified? I agree with this 100%. People should understand this is from CSD, not RMA, not the Country Club, you know, not the Kiwanis Club.
Yeah, I mean, I think my only comment on that is that those three entities all have the same logo with a different color.
Yeah.
And for colorblind people, mm-hmm. you know, or from, you know, a distance, I think it's really kind of a difficult thing. I don't want to create a huge amount of angst, but I think that it might be nice at some point down the road to think about a logo that more clearly evokes the services that are actually provided by mm-hmm. the district,
mm-hmm.
And that would differentiate between the three entities, because that, and I have to fully disclose, my husband is a graphic designer, so we talk a lot about logos, but logos are generally intended to convey the identity of the mm-hmm. organization mm-hmm. and either their values or their actual services. And the
water flows into a sewage.
So there are a lot of, you know, gaps in logos, you know, where people might choose something just because they like that image or whatever, or it has become known historically. Like I'm thinking VW, right? Everybody knows their logo, or the Toyota. But sometimes these logo types can be really helpful in mm-hmm. just sort of branding an organization mm-hmm. better. But I know there's a lot of attachment to that image that all three organizations use. So
Joaquin Murrieta on his upright steed.
Yeah, so that one's probably a down-the-road conversation.
Well, you could think of it maybe in terms of changing color. Does everybody have black? Is that what they have?
Well, ours is blue.
Blue.
And then I think there's brown and green, or maybe one of theirs is black. I'm not really sure. I just mm-hmm. know that I'm often like, oh, is that us? Oh, no, that's, you know.
No, and I have to look at the website to see how we look like in other in communications. But, I mean, obviously, I make light, but the Joaquin Murrieta logo is identified. And it does speak to the long-term integration between the various entities that carry Rancho Murrieta in their name. Mm-hmm. Seems easy enough over the long term to emphasize CSD, or Community Services District, you know, and even if we still maintain the Joaquin logo someplace, you know, it doesn't have to be the prominent, which it tends to be now, right, is what you're saying, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And
get your husband on.
And I say that, in, you know, knowing that I've been in organizations where they have changed the name, changed the logo, and then changed it again a couple of years later, and it's not an inexpensive thing to change. I mean, you can get up to about $10,000 just to change it. So I think it's something that requires a lot of thought and preparation, and that's why I say it's kind of a down the road thing. But I think, you know, especially thinking about the grand jury report and the like interconnectedness of the three primary public entities or public slash private,
right.
I think it's a good idea to have a little bit of distinction between the three entities.
I like the idea. I'm thinking, talk about changing and branding. When I first moved up to Northern California, there was an entity at the state called the California Department of Forestry. And then it became the California Department of Forestry and Conservation. And then it became the California Department of Fire Prevention and Forestry. And now it's called CAL FIRE. And it was an evolution of where they were emphasizing, and a lot of it had to do with the political backdrops and the timing. Yeah. You know, they had administrations that were really concerned about conservation and forestry, and what they found out was what the public really is most concerned about is keeping my place safe from a fire. Yeah. And that's, you know, what they now their branding is. Not that we have that, but I think that, again, maybe just in terms of our communications, we figure out periodically some way to emphasize the services that we provide.
Mm-hmm.
Water, sewer, drainage, security.
Trash.
Trash. So something to think about. I like that idea. Like you said, I think it's a longer-term discussion. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good one. I like it. Anything else on 13?
Uh-uh.
14, Mimi?
Yeah, so this one I think is just a baseline item to include. And really this, I think we tackle primarily in our website, right, to make sure that we're posting in a timely manner and completely... but then also being careful to ensure that we're not oversharing information that we have a responsibility to protect, and then having steps in place to make sure that those data, those private data points are private.
Right. No, I think I agree. Yeah. It's a given, but I think it's important to spell it out.
Just to articulate it,
would
yeah.
it be something that Andrew could periodically review with us, or could take a look at what our structure is for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's some of this stuff that's probably going to transcend him because mm-hmm. of IT security mm-hmm. stuff, mm-hmm. like a lot of cybersecurity stuff. So
yeah, yeah.
But I think that just having it be something that we pay attention to and take care of, even if it's an annual review where we sit down maybe with him and our IT and others,
right.
I think is... You know, I think there's that old adage that if you don't write down a goal, you're never going to achieve that goal. You know, so I think it's kind of in the same vein. Like, if we never think about our legal compliance, it's never going to happen. So it's part of just putting it in there as part of the strategy
then
and then
the
figuring
Brown
out, you know, how to... Yeah, Brown Act is definitely something that falls under this category of making sure that our communications are within the law and that.
But then again, since you've been actively involved with negotiations with the labor union representing a number of our employees, there's a whole different set of legal requirements and parameters for those communications.
Yeah.
I think we have a board member that may know a little bit about some of that.
Yeah.
And Mr. Ramos has said he's not really, you know, a labor lawyer.
Yeah.
We have some other firms that we rely upon. I mean, CBM comes to mind. And there's another one that we use on other basis, but
I don't know CDM, but we knew Liebert
and Cassidy,
and then also Porter Scott.
Okay, I thought we did some work with now I can't think of CBM, Cassidy. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
that's like LCW Cassidy, Liebert, and something with a W.
Yeah, you're right. Okay,
so
anything else on 12?
Additionally,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As far as the website goes, one of the great parts about Streamline, that platform that I put my website in, is that they always have, everything's ADA compliant on there, and there is a component that I look at almost every time I'm on there, every time I post something, where I'm identifying what a picture is for somebody who's blind.
Oh, so it automatically goes into accessible mode?
It automatically goes into...
I haven't even had reason to look for that, but
it automatically goes into accessible mode, and I always get a 99 or 100% on my ADA accessibility, I'm very conscientious of that.
Okay, and that's a good point that I hadn't even thought about until you raised it. So a compliance issue that's more than just Brown Act or confidential information. It's
mm-hmm.
another requirement that we have. It's good.
And they also help me with my Brown Act requirement in that the agendas for every meeting that are posted have to be one click from the main page. And so every right. time I post an agenda, it automatically goes to that
right.
first page. It's wonderful.
Good. Good. Anything else on 14? 15? I mean, yeah. yeah. As you say, it's a living document. We have some things to flesh out. We have some things that are longer-term goals. And then once we've identified those topics for KPIs, then we can periodically do a check-in on how we're doing on meeting those metrics. And I think that's, something that maybe we just think about once we have them established, maybe setting up quarterly review before this committee. And there may be occasion where we want to report to the board, on those KPIs and the things that this committee, obviously this committee communicates with the board when we have recommendations. But that would make sense. So, Linda?
Again, I think that we need to identify or define our strategy, kind of get our strategy. I mean, all of these are a part of our strategy, right, that we've been looking at.
If we go back and look at item one, doesn't that sort of spell out an overarching strategy? I mean, doesn't that seek in general terms to define what our strategy is in terms of communication?
I'm thinking of some things that are a little more specific,
So,
like, make sure that our pipeline, our Facebook, and our, what else do we have, our website, are connected, so to speak, and we're going to the community through all three of those methods. And so I'm thinking that in each of them, we would want to connect the strategy. I don't know how else to say it.
So if we go back and look at item four on our list, maybe a 4.2 to talk about that coordination and consistency when we use the various channels?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It was just a thought that. This is a lot of information. It's good for us because we have to come up with the strategy, basically. So.
Here's my take on that.
Okay.
I look at this as goals, mm-hmm. overarching strategies. These 10 or
How
15 things, right? And then you have tasks underneath.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
right.
I think what you're talking about is sort of task level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, this is getting the broad infrastructure in place, and then we can come back and
right.
say, all right, one of the ways we can achieve that is through a specific task or tasks that
mm-hmm.
help
mm-hmm.
to address those concerns.
I like the way you put that. I just want to make sure I get this right.
Goals. Strategies, next level.
Strategies, okay.
And then tasks.
Yeah.
The acronym is GIST. Don't print that.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else on this document?
I do have a public comment, sir.
I that's next. Thank you for reminding me. If not, then we will go to comments from the public, and you have someone that wishes to speak.
Mr. Gears,
would you like? And, sir, you're going to need to hold the microphone, if you would, please. It was damaged last meeting.
Bit the dust.
Somebody got mad?
I think somebody moved the podium without thinking what the implications were.
Okay. I've recently had communications with CSD. I found a bit disappointing, and I think should be discussed by this committee. I mean, it sort of contradicts item one. Develop and maintain a system of open, honest, and positive communications with the community about services and issues. This seems to be going back to the old way of doing things at CSD. Yeah, you're going to do that until you don't want to.
So I'm completely in the dark, sir. Would you like to share the specifics with us?
Yes, I read something in the River Valley Times which quoted the RMA general manager talking about the dash cams that in the CSD security vehicles.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to confirm whether or not that was true. So I sent an email to security supervisor with a copy to Mimi. You know what response I got? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I emailed Mimi this morning, and she replied, well, they decided our May statement spoke for itself. They didn't tell me that.
Okay.
I sent them an email asking to confirm it. They didn't.
If
that here, certainly doesn't.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to hear from Ms. Morris, and then
I would too.
And I have some thoughts. I mean, on its face, I agree, as you describe, I agree that's not consistent with what we've pieced together in terms of responding to every inquiry. So, Mimi?
Just let me say, and it's not going to get the response you want, because I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So what I said this morning to you was that Mr. Hart's response to you from that email, we felt... Oh, you weren't
not?
Copied on that?
No.
Oh, well then my apologies.
Mr. Rod Hart,
the general manager from RMA, because he responded to that, and I'm sorry, I'm juggling many
was
things.
Was Mr. Hart copied on your original inquiry?
No, it was just the CSD. I want CSD to confirm what he said, whether it was true or not.
Okay.
So I got a response that, and I'm sorry, I just looked at it on my phone, but it was from Mr. Hart responding to your initial inquiry, and Kelly asked me, do I need to say anything else? And I said, no, I think Rod covered it. So my apologies if I misunderstood that communication as going back to you and you didn't receive that. But I thought we don't really have anything to add. It's just as a clarification, it's one camera, it's not even yet installed, and my understanding is that this idea of having dash cams on all the compliance vehicles at RMA, and one here has been in the works well before my time. And I think your issue was, well, where is that footage going to reside?
Yes.
And
because he said it was, the article said it was going to be stored on the RMA servers, all three cameras.
So that hasn't been, and I think with they're providing that camera because it's a very expensive camera, and I said, I think you can get cheaper cameras, and we're actually beta testing a cheaper model to have us have access to that. So none of those are installed yet, but yeah, that overlap of the data I think is still something to be resolved. And I think it was just a quick, well, we'll just pay for it and you can get it. Right. But none of those have been installed.
So, I appreciate all the factual information. It sounds to me, and I don't want to speak for you, Mimi, but it sounds like maybe a missed opportunity here where even if we were going to rely upon Mr. Hart to respond with the factual information, either you or Mr. Benitez probably should have communicated that to Mr. Gears.
Yes.
Yeah, please.
I apologize for that.
We have referred your inquiry to the GM at RMA. Thank you for, you know, for your interest. I mean, I think a missed opportunity, sir.
Oh, definitely.
I agree. Yeah, it's not consistent. Yeah. And we'll work on doing better.
Let me just say, when you said RMA's response says it all, I thought you were referring to what was reported in the Valley Times.
No, I thought they had copied you on that response to your email that I thought was directed to them and us.
No.
And so I apologize.
I have nothing to do with RMA. They can say what they want. But
right.
I want to confirm the CSD.
Yeah. So just a note then for future, if we're going to refer it out, we should tell our person that. We're referring, please refer
and my
to
apologies.
Or
I
or
thought
we
you
have,
were, you
right.
know, captured
well,
in that
But thank you for letting us know about that.
Okay. What you said does raise some other questions. I don't think it's appropriate for here, but just one question. If they buy a camera provided for CSD vehicles, who owns that camera at that point?
I agree. Can we refer that to, out for an individual response to Mr. Gears? I don't think it's a communication committee question, but we will commit to answer that question for you, sir.
And the video from that, is that going to RMA server?
Okay.
So those are my questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments from the public?
Just one other thing while you add it. Branding. This is something that's bothered me for a while. The Facebook page starts off with a picture of Laguna Joaquin, and people confuse CSD with RMA. That's sort of an image associated with RMA. I think a better picture would be the CSD administration building. It wouldn't be as pretty, wouldn't be attractive and appealing, but I think it would help distinguish CSD from RMA. A lot of people don't know there's a difference.
No, I think it's a good suggestion, and I was thinking water treatment plant, but there might be some security issues with that. So,
like Granley's Dam.
Granley's Dam picture, maybe.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, but Laguna Joaquin. You see that? That's the entrance to RMA land.
So, you're okay if we don't send you a written response to that suggestion?
Okay. You can do what you want.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else, Director Butler? Anything you'd like to add?
No, I'm good.
Anything else from staff? All right, then thank you all, and we will call this meeting to adjourn at 9:36 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you.